Today, we'd like to see unclean spirit in the book of Mark chapter 5, verses 1 through 20. So the Bible scholar says a synoptical gospel, synoptical, you know, meaning there is one common view. So synoptical gospels, you know, three books, basically Matthew, Mark, and Luke. So Mark was written by Mark. So Mark, you know, that time when he wrote that book, his age was 12 years old. Wow. So most of them, Mark wrote down hearsay from Peter. So Peter, we know that Peter was not, you know, educated in terms of a secular world, although he was educated by the Lord Jesus Christ for 3 years, you know. But that's why, you know, Mark, you know, wrote down, you know, what, you know, Peter said, you know, inspired by the Holy Spirit. So Gospel Mark, you know, was written about at 50 A.D., but Matthew and Luke were written at 60 A.D. So the Mark, the earliest gospel in the New Testament. In the last time we saw, you know, Jesus Christ scold the heavy wave of Galilee Sea, because Jesus' disciples feared extremely over their deaths. That's why Jesus scolds their high waving over Galilee Sea, then scolding his disciples, why don't you have a faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? Then, verse 1, Jesus and his disciples in a ship had crossed the upper part of the Sea of Galilee from Capernaum over to the area of the Gadarenes. Gadarenes comes from the tribe of Gad. So tribe of Gad, usually that area around in the area of the Golan Heights in south to about the Yarmouk River, was called as Gadarenes area. But in Matthew chapter 8, verse 28, you know, Gadarenes areas is also called as Gergesenes area, Gergesenes area too. So Jesus and his disciples crossed the area of Gadarenes or Gergesenes area. And verse 2, when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. So a man demonized or a demon possessed. So right here said a man with an unclean spirit. So unclean spirit, you know, what does it mean? So that person was possessed by demon. So in the Bible, in the Old Testament, a demon is called Satan. So as you know, in Job, you know, chapter 1, verses 6 through 12, and Job, the book of Job, you know, chapter 2, verses 1 through 7, Satan talked with God the Father about Job. So Satan is the Hebrew word harusami. Harusami means destroyer or adversary or accuser. So against edifier. So we know that in the story of Job, so Satan really destroyed Job's possessions, Job's children, Job's health. So Satan literally means adversary or accuser. In the New Testament, the Satan, also the Greek word called diabolos, diabolos. Diabolos meaning devil. So the devil is also called the dragon, the older serpent, in Revelation chapter 12, verse 9 and 22. Devil called the dragon, older serpent. Or John chapter 12, verse 31 and John 14, verse 30. A devil or evil spirit or unclean spirit is called as the prince of this world. Prince of this world. Or Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2 said the prince of the power of the air. Prince of the power of the air. Or the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. Basically, the children of disobedience, which means unbeliever. So all unbelievers, in a certain spirit works in all unbelievers, which meaning devil, you know, works in among an unbeliever, according to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2. So because they do not accept the Lord Jesus Christ. Also Matthew chapter 12, verse 24, just said, Beelzebub, the prince of the devil, because the Pharisees called Jesus Christ Beelzebub, the prince of the devils. So Satan is the prince of devils. So the head of the devils is called as Satan as well. So also, the first Peter, chapter 5, verse 8, roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. So basically we can see Christian, born again Christian, cannot be possessed by demon at all. But Christians might be tempted like Jesus Christ. In Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11, we saw that, you know, Jesus was tempted by Satan in the wilderness, but Jesus did not fail in temptation. But unfortunately, we as a born-again Christian, we sometimes are tempted by Satan or devil, although we are not possessed by devil, because Jesus bought us with his bloodshed, the Holy Spirit dwells in us. So already Holy Spirit occupied in us, so we are not possessed by devil, but we are tempted by devil. Sometimes we fail in temptation. So that's a, you know, different compared to unbelievers. So right here, we know that there are angels that kept not their first state, who are reserved in chains awaiting the day of judgment. Often demons are incarcerated in a place called as abyss. Abyss is which in bottomless pit. So in the book of Revelation, during the Great Tribulation, the devil came out, worked out on the earth, out of abyss. But at the end of the Great Tribulation, or just the beginning of a millennium kingdom, the Lord Jesus Christ put devils into abyss or a bottomless pit. So today, there are stories, especially from Ed Campion, the missionary in Kenya, today over encounters with demon spirit. In Kenya, you know, they are practice of demon spirit. You know, Ed Campion, last time he made a mission report. They are dangerous, powerful, and destructive. While it is important to recognize their evil activity so that we believers, we as Christians can stay away from demons, we should avoid any curiosity about or involvement with demonic forces. or the occult. What? In Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 10 through 12, God says, "There shall not be found among you anyone who makes his son or his daughter pass through the fire." This is a sort of worship for Moloch worshipper. Moloch worshippers, you know, pass through the fire, you know, a part of worship, or the Moloch pagan worship practice, or one who practices witchcraft, or a soothsayer, or one who interprets omens, or a sorcerer, or one who conjures spells, or a medium, or a spiritist, or one who calls up the dead. Somebody calls in the spirit from the dead body. So God said, "For all who do these things, all, no exception, are an abomination to the Lord," which meaning Lord hated all practice with, you know, evil spirit, with the devil. "And because of these abominations, the Lord your God drives them out from before you." So God doesn't want, you know, the believers to join in the practice of evil spirits. We as Christians are warned against his devices, because 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11, "Lest Satan should take advantage over us, because we are not ignorant of his devices." Sometimes Satan, you know, pretended to be very nice, but beyond the pretense, he has a destructive intent, motive for us. And called on to resist Satan, because James chapter 4, verse 7, "Therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you." So submit to God, which meaning let the Holy Spirit resist the devil, not by yourself, but let the Holy Spirit resist the devil. That moment, the devil, you know, disappears from you. So when a demonic power fully takes over an individual, as is the case here, as I said, their purposes are always evil and destructive. And we find that a person often opens the door, but they do not realize what it's leading to until they get so far into it that their bodies are taken over by these evil spirits, and they have not the control any longer. So when Jesus was come out of the ship, immediately there met him a man out of the tombs with an unclean spirit, or with devil, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, nor not with chains. So the Satan devils had a supernatural power. No man, the human being, cannot control them, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains were plucked ashun. Chains like iron, you know, chains were plucked ashun in peace by him. So demonic power is a supernatural power, and the fetters were broken in pieces, and neither could any man tame him or any man bind him. Actually, he was a troublemaker or a peace broker. So because somebody, you know, chained him who was possessed by demons, but he broke the chains and fetters. So he breached the peace of the community. People could not pass by his way. And always, right, always, every day, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, in the graves, crying and cutting himself with stones. So, basically, he who was possessed by demon, really troublemaker, not he, you know, but actual demons. So, but when he saw Jesus afar off, he saw the little ship coming. He came running to Jesus and worshiped him. Right here, demon believed in Jesus, worshiped him. It is interesting how that the demons recognized Jesus, and even though they were in rebellion against Jesus, they were forced to worship him. In Book of Revelation said, you know, all creatures worship the Lord Jesus Christ. So unbelievers, rebels, you know, were up forced to worship him. And he cried with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with you, Jesus, you Son of Most High God?" Son of Most High God, "I adjure you by God that you torment me not," which meaning, "do not bother me, Lord." Right here, "you Son of Most High," also Gabriel, angel, good angel, Gabriel told to Virgin Mary that title too. So we can see Luke chapter 1 verse 35. "The angel Gabriel answered and said to her, 'Mary, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God.'" So Gabriel also called Jesus, "you Son of the Most High God," too. But right here, devils also, you know, called Jesus, "you Son of the Most High God." Also in Luke chapter 8, verse 29 through 31, these devils, rather than, you know, "do not torment me," he said, "do not send us to the abyss or bottomless pit," which meaning, do not, you know, incarcerate, do not, you know, place into a bottomless pit. Do not do that, which meaning, let us work, you know, on the earth, you know, like that. "For Jesus said unto him," or the man who was possessed by demons, "come out of the man, you unclean spirit." And Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" And he answered, "My name is Legion." Legion meaning course of a lot of armies, that's called Legion. So we know that how many devils are there. We know that in this context, we see 2,000 in the devils. Why? Because 2,000 swines in the movie. So at least more than 2,000 devils we can, you know, figure out in this context. So my name is Legion, which meaning not just one devil, so more than one devil. So we see how much, you know, about more than 2,000 devils. "For we are many." And they begged Jesus that he would not send them away out of the country, which meaning into abyss or in the bottomless pit. Do not, you know, imprison into the bottomless pit or abyss. "Now there was near unto the mountains a great herd of swine that were feeding." Swine. "Although Galilee was called the Galilee of the Gentiles, yet according to the Lord, God's word, in Leviticus chapter 11, verse 7, "And the swine, although it divides the hoof, having cloven hooves, yet does not chew the cud, is unclean to you." So pig or swine was unclean meat, and the children of Israel were not to eat the pork. Therefore, the feeder, the people who feed the swine, violates this particular Bible verse, the particular gospel of the Leviticus. Although recently we know that the worm is called trichinosis problem. So that's why we should cook the pork meat well. Otherwise, trichinosis, the parasite, survived into human body, so hurt the human body. So that's why, you know, God incorporated in the law that they just were not to eat it, rather than telling them to what temperature it must be heated before you dare to eat it. So, verse 12, they sought Jesus, saying, "Send us into the swine, that we may enter into the dam." And so Jesus gave them permission, and the unclean spirits or devils went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. They were about 2,000. So we right here we know that 2,000 devils or more, and they were choked in the sea. That isn't too intonated that there were 2,000 demons in the man. So all you need is for a few swine to panic, and they will begin to stampede. And so as the demons entered into the swine, and they that fed the swine fled, and they told it in the city and in the countryside, and they went out to see what it was that was done. So all swine, about 2,000 swines, were dead, you know, into water. And when they came to Jesus, when they, meaning is the feeders, you know, the people who fed the swine, came to Jesus, and they saw him that was possessed with the devil, or demonized, or possessed by demons, that had the legion, 2,000 or more devils. He was sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. The feeders were afraid. So, what a contrast! Controlled by the powers of the underworld, the man was an insane person. He had no control, miserable, weeping, cutting himself with rocks, a menace to the people. Now under control of the spirit, sitting clothed in his right mind, don't you think that the people would have really rejoiced over this transformation? So right now the community can have a peace, because before the devils were cast out, you know, that community, like the troubles, the breaches, the peace of a community, because day and night, you know, always he cried out, you know, he scratched with his body with stone, you know, some kind of, you know, a lot of trouble make. Verses 16 and 17, and they did so it, those that were feeding swines, told them how it befell him that was demonized, and concerning the swine, and they began to pray or beg, ask, petition Jesus to depart out of their courts. What a reaction! Would you leave, please? The tragedy is they thought more of their swine than they did the needs of a man. They don't care about the community peace or you know, one person can get sane from insanity, they don't care about that, but they only care about their job, you know, to feed up, you know, by themselves. They put the needs of animal above the needs of people. That's unthinkable, isn't it? What kind of people would value animals more than people? We are sort of returning, aren't you, to a godless kind of a concept that elevates nature above man. As Paul declares in Romans chapter 1, verse 25, they worshiped and served the creature more than the creator, who is blessed forevermore. And so they begged, petitions, asked Jesus to leave their areas. And when he was come into the ship, he that was possessed with the devil prayed Jesus that he might be with him. But Jesus did not allow him. But he said, Jesus said unto the man who was possessed by devil, go home to your friends and tell them the great things the Lord has done for you. Which meaning you should be example or to be witness to the people in Decapolis, how he had compassion on you, and he departed and he began to publish in Decapolis what great things Jesus has done for him, and all of the men did marvel. This man had been demon-possessed, but became a living example of Jesus' power. He wanted to go with Jesus, but Jesus did not allow him to go with him. Rather than Jesus told him to go home and share his story, his testimony with his friends. If you have experienced Jesus' power among your lives, you as an instrument are a living example. Are you like this man enthusiastic about sharing Jesus' power over destructive power for his kingdom? Would you deliver the gospel to the lost sheep in Talak Villa or everywhere, just like Paul said to Timothy in the 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12. Let no one despise your youth, which means Timothy is very young, your youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Also, Decapolis, we recognize in Matthew chapter 4, verse 25, great multitudes followed Jesus from Galilee and from Decapolis to Jerusalem, Judea, and beyond the Jordan. That's why the residents in Decapolis right now knew Jesus Christ much more. Let's pray all together. Heavenly Father, we give thanks for our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And Lord, we thank you for your touch upon our lives, and how, Lord, you have brought us from destruction into life, from darkness into light, from the powers of darkness into your kingdom. Thank you, Jesus, for your wonderful touch. May we go out, Lord, and in your name, let us touch this hurting, needy world. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Next week, we are moving on Book of Psalms. Next week, we will have a special brunch right here, 10 to 11. So you may invite many people as possible. Yeah, yeah, 10 to 11. Maybe 10:30 we might take brunch, 10:30, because I have to leave right here 11:10.
Ah, yes.
Because the next service, okay. I think you may continue to take brunch up to 12 and 10:05, up to you.
Okay.
Now let's just sing song the blue book, page 40, number 5. Page 40, number 5.